say, men,
stop what you're doing wherever you are. Time to settle back with a harvester cigar. Enjoy the finest smoke, the latest sports return. And now,
if you're ready,
here's Phil Stern.
Good evening. Here are the highlights of tonight's 15 minutes of sports news. The Dodgers beat the Cubs as Rowe outpitches Johnny Schmidt. The Yankees beat the Browns in the 12th on Berra's home run. Giants play in Pittsburgh under the lights tonight. Ski Regal upset and eliminated from the National Amateur down in Memphis. Tonight's guest, sports writer, sports editor, Lou Nitz. The moment I'll have the stories behind the headlines. Now for a word about Harvester. Here's a gentleman all wrapped up in a cloud of smoke, Don Pardo.
Men, if it's smoking pleasure you want, get yourself some mild, mellow Harvester cigars. They're the big favorites with men who want extra mildness and extra mellowness. Harvester cigars are made from choice tobaccos, aged just long enough, blended just the right way. No wonder these fine Harvesters add up to so much gratifying satisfaction. No wonder so many thousands of smokers insist on Harvesters every time. So join up with all these satisfied Harvester smokers and ask for Harvester cigars. You'll find them at your favorite tobacco dealers. Harvesters are only a dime apiece. Now here's Bill Stern.
Each night since we've been beginning with the National League, we're getting letters and saying what's the matter with the American League. So tonight we'll start up at the Yankee Stadium, where New York took St. Louis 5-4. The Yankees beat the Browns on 5 runs, 11 hits, and a single error. The Brownies 4 runs on 10 hits and 2 errors. Freddie Sanford went the whole way for the Browns, and the whole way was 12 innings. That's his 17th loss. Looked like he had the game with 2 men out in the 9th inning, but he couldn't get the 3rd one down. For the Yankees, Vic Rashi led off. Tommy Byrne came in the 10th inning. Bob Porterfield also in the 10th. Porterfield gets credit for the win since it was a tie game when he came in. That's his 4th win of the year. This was a game which watched the Brownies rack up what looked like an insurmountable lead. The Yankees had gone out in front 1-0 in the 1st inning, only to have St. Louis come from behind when Al Zarrilla got a home run in the 3rd inning. That's with a man on, his 7th of the year. Another run crossed the plate, too, and St. Louis had reversed it, taking the Yankees' lead, and now it was 3-1 in favor of the Browns. Not only that, but in the next inning, Les Moss got a home run, and also for St. Louis. That's his 12th of the year. That made it 4-1. Well, it stayed 4-1 down to the 6th when the Yankees got a single. Then in the 7th, George Sternweiss got his 3rd home run of the year. That made it 4-3. And with 2 men down in the Yankee half, the last half of the 9th inning, the Yankees tied the score on doubles by Cliff Mapes and Tommy Henrick. It stayed 4-4 in the 10th, the 11th, and in the last half of the 12th inning, Larry Barra hit his 13th home run of the year and broke up the ball game as New York beat St. Louis 5-4. Also in the American League, and here's the final, Boston beats Detroit 10-1, 10 runs on 10 hits and no errors. Detroit 1 run on 8 hits and 2 errors. For the Tigers, Virgil Trucks, the loser, that's his 11th of the year. He only actually went to the 6th. White came in the 6th, Pierce in the 6th, Benton in the 8th, and Benton finished out the game. For Boston, Jack Kramer went the whole way to win his 15th of the year. Detroit scored first. They got a run in the first half of the 5th inning. But the Red Sox got 2 runs in that same inning, and then they started to go to town. By the time they reached the last half of the 9th, they had 10. Detroit hadn't improved on its original 1 run, and the final on the game, 10-1 again, with Boston beating Detroit. Night games in the American League, Chicago at Washington, Cleveland at Philadelphia. At Wrigley Field in Chicago, over to the National League, a final. Brooklyn beat Chicago, shutting them out 6-0. 6 runs on 9 hits and no errors. Chicago Cubs, no runs on 4 hits and 3 errors. Preacher Rowe for the Brooklyn Dodgers went the whole way and threw a 4-hitter at Chicago today, winning his 8th ball game of the year. For the Cubs, Johnny Schmidt started. He lost his 11th of the season. Cush in the 4th, Dobernick in the 7th. This was a game which watched Brooklyn climb out in front as early as the 1st inning, and since Chicago never scored, that lead would have been good. But Brooklyn kept on piling up runs. Gene Hermansky got his 13th home run of the year. It came in the 4th inning. Final again, the Dodgers come back under their winning ways, shutting out and beating the Chicago Cubs 6-0. In the meantime, the team which is chasing down to the wire, the Boston Braves, lost the game to Cincinnati. The Braves got beaten by the Reds 3-1. Cincinnati 3 runs on 7 hits and a single error. The Braves 1 run on 4 hits and no errors. It's the first game of a twin bill out at Crosley Field. The Braves started off with Warren Spahn. He's charged with a loss, his 10th of the year. Schaun came in a relief role in the 7th inning. For the Reds, Johnny Vandermeer won his 12th ball game. He went the whole way. And the highlight of the game, Johnny Rustek's home run came with a man on in the 6th inning, and it put the Reds in the scoring position. They were trailing Boston at the moment 1-0. They came from behind, tied the ball game up, and went on to win 3-1. This loss drops Boston a full game behind the Dodgers. Now, at Crosley Field in Cincinnati, the second game finds the Boston Braves leading the Cincinnati Reds 6-1 as the teams go into the last half of the fifth inning, which means if Boston hangs on to its lead, and it's a five-run lead, they will eliminate that one-run deficit behind Brooklyn and at the end of the day only be a half a game behind the Dodgers. Elliott's pitching for the Braves. Walter Kress is on the mound for the Cincinnati Reds. Night games in the National League, New York Giants at Pittsburgh, Philadelphia Phillies at St. Louis. Well, there are strong indications tonight that Baseball Commissioner Happy Chandler is preparing his doghouse for two new occupants. And the prospective tenants appear to be the Detroit Tigers of the American League and the Pittsburgh Pirates of the National Circuit. The Detroit News, in a copyright article, says tonight that Chandler has been investigating both clubs in connection with a violation of the baseball code. Newspaper says that several Detroit transactions involve at least nine players signed by the Tigers and then covered up in the minor leagues. Chandler's big blast, if and when it comes, is expected to be directed chiefly at violations of the rule barring so-called gentlemen's agreements and evasions of the bonus rule. A new national amateur golf champion is certain to be made down in Memphis, Tennessee this week. For today at Memphis, the defending champion Ski Regal of Monterey Park, California, was eliminated from the national amateur tournament. He was beaten 3-1 to play in a third-round match by Gene Dalbender of Atlanta, Georgia. Dalbender, the Southern amateur champion, held a 4-up lead over Regal at the end of the first nine. He maintained that lead with only four holes to go. Regal rallied to win the 15th and the 16th, but he was dormy at that point. He lost the 17th, and with it went the match. Incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, the National Broadcasting Company will be exclusively sending the National Amateur Golf Championship your way starting tomorrow afternoon. As soon as this show's over, we're flying to Memphis, Tennessee. So for the remainder of the week, if you'll watch your paper for the time of the broadcast, you will hear the new National Amateur Golf Champion crowned from the course in Memphis. Now it's time to look at the calendar of sporting events for tonight and tomorrow. Tonight, baseball at the Rupert Stadium, Newark, a doubleheader, the Bears and the Baltimore Orioles. Harness racing at Roosevelt Raceway in Westbury. Boxing at the Jamaica Arena, the feature bout, Greg Segarra-Hausa against Mike Kearney. Tomorrow, baseball up at the Yankee Stadium, the Senators against the Yankees, and horse racing at Aqueduct. I'll be back in a moment with our guest of the evening, Mr. Lou Nitz. But now, here's a message to the men in our audience from Don Pardo.
Still a dime and staying there. That's the story on the price of Harvester cigars. Since many other cigars have raised prices lately, we want to tell this to Harvester smokers. A dime will go right on buying you a swell-tasting Harvester. If you're not smoking Harvesters now, it's a good time to compare cigars. We think you'll like Harvesters. Most men do because Harvesters are a light smoke. They're specially made to smoke mellow and mild. And that's just what the vast majority of you smokers want. For Harvesters, still only a dime. Again, here's Bill Stern.
Tonight is the first day of September. It's also the first day of Youth Month, which was inaugurated by the Attorney General Tom Clark. WNBC has been saluting the beginning of this drive with its own salute to youth all day. Tonight, our guest is a person who's done a great deal in the drive towards the prevention of juvenile delinquency. He is Lou Nitz, the sports editor of the Brooklyn Eagle. Lou, first of all, there's a slogan I've heard about. I don't know what it means. I'd like you to tell me, what does it mean when you say Brooklyn against the world?
Bill, that's one of the greatest things that I think has ever been done for kids. Brooklyn Against the World is something started by the Brooklyn Eagle and the Brooklyn Baseball Club, that is the Dodgers. And we organize a sandlot team called the Brooklyn Eagle All-Stars. We send those kids all over the world playing other sandlot teams. This year we played Washington home and home, then sent our boys to Toronto, Montreal, Halifax, and Providence. Now, we play games at home, and out of the proceeds, we form the Brooklyn Amateur Baseball Foundation. Now, out of that foundation, the funds in that foundation ran about $20,000 a year for the last 3 years. And with that money, we buy baseball equipment for the sandlotters of Brooklyn. We hire fields. We cooperate with the Board of Education in hiring supervisors for high school fields that are not being used during the summer. We do everything we can, hold clinics, do everything to keep the kids interested in baseball. And that's all done through the generosity of Frank D. Schroth, the publisher of the Brooklyn Eagle, and Branch Rickey of the Brooklyn Dodgers. And when I say Branch Rickey and generosity, I mean it.
Good for you, Lou. Well, first of all, I think the Brooklyn Eagle's to be congratulated, and you personally, for what you've done in this movement, and I'm glad you explained it. I honestly didn't know what it meant, and that was a very, very good explanation. Now that we have discussed juvenile delinquency and what part Brooklyn, the Eagle, and you and your publisher are playing in overcoming it, can we swing over to the Brooklyn Dodgers and let's talk about that?
When you're from Brooklyn, you generally do.
All right. Well, you ought to know, being the sports editor of the Brooklyn Eagle. Now, first of all, did you have any foreknowledge? I mean, did you sense that a move was coming when the DeRocher-Ott deal was in the making? Did you know that it was going to break before it did break?
No, I didn't, Bill.
I was away on my vacation, Lou, when I heard that, and I honestly thought, when I heard the report come over the radio, I heard it up in Maine. I thought that the guy ought to have his head examined. I couldn't believe it. I had no knowledge whatsoever that such a move was in the making. Now, what was your first reaction when you did hear about it?
Well, after I found out, my first reaction, of course, was one of great surprise, although there had been rumors of it before. And I didn't think the rumors were founded. I know this, though, that Leo could have stayed with the Dodgers, remained as manager of the Dodgers until the end of this season, no matter what happened, no matter where the team finished, if he had so wanted.
Really, Lou, that surprises me, because I saw a published story to the effect that Branch Rickey had asked for his resignation on the 4th of July.
Branch Rickey never asked for his resignation. The only thing Branch Rickey did was to tell Leo that if he was becoming discouraged, or to send word that if he was discouraged, that he didn't think he could win, that if he didn't believe in the Dodgers, then he couldn't win, and there would be no sense staying on.
I see. Well, that's a little different. I had heard that he was asked for it, that his son, Branch Rickey Jr., went to Leo and asked for his resignation on the 4th of July, and Leo refused to give it. Apparently, that's not a true story. Is that right?
I don't believe it is.
All right, now let's take the move. Bert Schotten has come in, and the team, which was then in the second division, is now in the first division. Not only in the first division, but is fighting its way towards what may be another pennant. Do you think that the change in managers is responsible for this, or is that the Dodgers steadying down, would they have done it under DeRocher?
Bill, I believe they would have done it under DeRocher.
You do?
Just as they're doing it under Schotten. I think they were on their way. I think the team had finally steadied down. Fellas like Robinson, who Robinson was not in the best of shape at the start of the season. He was in shape. Some of the injured players were coming back. I think they were just steadying down. They would have gone on.
Lou, as the sports editor of the Brooklyn Eagle, you must have had volumes and volumes of mail after this thing broke. What were most of the letter writers, and what vein were the letters? Were they glad to see DeRocher go, or were they sorry?
None of them took the middle road, Bill. They were either violently glad or very sorry.
All right, now we've talked enough about DeRocher. Let's talk a little bit about Bert Schotten. I take it you think he's a pretty good manager.
Yes, he's a great manager, Bill.
And is it true, too, that he does, in a completely different way, run the club from the way in which DeRocher handled it?
Well, I don't know enough about both men and their work. That is exactly how they run the ball club.
What I meant by that, Lou, was in calmness. He seems to get out of the men what Leo, by fire, sometimes couldn't. Or isn't that fair?
I don't think it's a fair question.
All right, Lou, then I'll withdraw the question. I can see you're trying very hard to be fair to both men, and certainly they both have good enough records so that you should be fair.
Well, each has an individual way of getting the most out of each man. And I imagine that they might run along the same lines, except Leo might be a little more excitable.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Lou. You have come over, and you've given us an insight into Brooklyn. I've enjoyed your writing in the Brooklyn Eagle for a long time. It's been a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks a lot, Bill. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a late thing that's just come in. Earl Torgerson has hit a home run in the top half of the sixth inning with a man on, making the score at least 8-1. That's the sixth of the game with Boston and Cincinnati. Now, that's just about all there is, and here is Mr. Don Pardo.
Brother, for downright pleasure and satisfaction, get yourself some mild, fresh Harvester cigars. Harvesters are only a dime apiece. Stock up on Harvesters tonight, and you'll be on your way to plenty of smoking pleasure and enjoyment. Ask for Harvesters Cigars. Listen to Kenneth Banghart every night at 6 p.m. for the front page news. And at 6:15, Bill Stern Sports News, brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday by the makers of Harvesters Cigars.
Cigars, cigars, Harvesters Cigars.
They're so mild and mellow and light. They're aged and blended just right.
What a treat.
For only a dime.
Light up a Harvester. Harvester cigar.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Bill Stern on the air there for NBC in New York. Program originally broadcast from around 6:15, 6:30 in the evening. The date of that broadcast, September 1st, 1948.